Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Lenxing conference call on the results of the first half year 2012. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand over to Peter Untersperger, CEO of Lenxing AG. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, this is Peter speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to today's conference call regarding our Q2 2012 results. I'm joined, as always, by Fritz Weininger and Thomas Winkler. As usual, we will guide you through the presentation, and you can follow up with questions afterwards, page by page. Let us start with slide three, the key highlights of Q2 2012. I want to highlight the fact that we are delivering the guided results as promised for the fifth quarter in a row. We had sales of 534 million, which is almost a record, on an EBITDA of around, in fact, 101 million euros, and an EBITDA margin in Q2, which was more than a percentage point higher than in Q1. In fact, 120 basis points higher than in Q1. We also had a very good sales record, and we sold almost 200,000 tons in a single quarter, which is also a record we didn't have so far. Well over all regions and all markets and all customers. As you will see later on, viscose pricing, which even surprised us a little bit, was proving to be less volatile than cotton, particularly in China. Just at the very beginning, also to put it in the context, we always have been very clear that 2011 was an extraordinary year, with a very dynamic first half and even a very strong second half. Please put the EBITDA margin of 18.2%, also in relation to the very good first half of 2010, which was 17.9%, and even compared to that's an increase of 30 basis points. Given the macroeconomic and our industry's environment, this is anything but to be taken for granted. As you all know, cotton decreased by 22% in the second quarter, which also impacted the viscose pricing environment. You will be surprised to see that the viscose price on average even increased in Lenxing, but even in China, the spot market with a 22% decrease in cotton just came down 8%. You all know we're always talking about correlation. Viscose cotton, where we say we have no one-to-one correlation, and this is, I think, the proof. Particularly, it's the proof when viscose prices in Lenxing go up, even if it's only 0.03, and cotton comes down. I'm moving to slide four. Yeah, we have in which macroeconomic environment we are working. You are well aware about that. The U.S., with almost 5%, is not bad, but could be a little bit better. Indonesia, with 3%, is cooling off a little bit. We had a much better first quarter and a much better 2011. Turkey is still quite strong, but also cooling off a little bit after almost 10%-12% last year. China is still at 9.5%. Of course, also a little bit down from last year. We see interest rate cuts just in July. Let's see what the effect will be. With July's industrial production slowing down to 9.2%, we will need to see what comes in August. As to the textile market, Chinese textile exports grew only by 2%. That's maybe one of the major factors influencing why Lansing is feeling some tailwinds in tailwinds in China, and we can go into detail explaining where these 2% are coming from. But nevertheless, even the 2% are something like $5 billion additional exports in a year. Let me stay a little bit longer on China, because China is 50% of the viscose production and 50% of the viscose market of the consumption. Therefore, China is very, very important. And given the length of the European debt crisis and the effect it had on the exporting nations, which is primarily China, Indonesia, India, with a very weak economic outlook, I would also tend to believe, as you see it from chart 5, that we're not going to have a recovery similar to 2008 to 2011. We expect a kind of slower recovery, a U-shaped recovery, which by the end of the day is even more sound and more sustainable than a V-shape recovery. So for 2013, 2014, with a new government coming in place and with real monetary and fiscal policies taking place, we expect a much sounder and stronger Chinese environment. But still, with 7.5 to 8% GDP growth in 2013, China will provide a huge further potential. And if I say that 2% export growth in textile would represent 4 to 5 billion, 8 to 10% representing 20 to 25 billion, which is just a little bit short of the total Indian textile exports all over the year. So I'm moving on to slide 6. Slide 6 is a very, very interesting slide, because as you see, it shows the cotton and viscose price development for China over the last 8 months. And looking at the time period beginning in January to April, you clearly can see that cotton and Chinese viscose traded within a very narrow bandwidth, less than 5 to 10% different. But starting from May, of course, when the speculation or when the first indications came that we are going to have much bigger cotton stocks and maybe even less cotton consumption, both the cotton A index as well as the cotton future decreased. And please be aware that this is just Chinese prices. And so over April we had some small price increases in viscose, and then you see, of course, cotton prices came down until end of June by 22%. And the Chinese spot viscose prices, substantial, but much, much less, 8%. So I think to have a correlation in a good market that we had it last year, when cotton increased substantially and viscose intentionally did not go up that way, we see also here as a very good example in a negative situation, that cotton is almost three times lower the percentage than viscose. And now from June, actually July onwards, we see a very interesting development. It seems to be that cotton, after a low, very low cotton price in June, is kind of finding its bottom and kind of bottoming out, not coming down any more further. And you are getting viscose experts quarter by quarter and surely have following the spot prices, you see a quite significant, almost 10% increase of cotton price, of viscose prices, Chinese viscose prices, in the last let's say five weeks. So cotton seems to have settled in July with all on the background of all this negative information regarding stock and overcapacity. But just to make you aware, the official government, the government officials just have announced that cotton fields will be 13% less in China and also 7-8% less in US. We do not know which effect that will have, but it definitely will have an effect also on the background of the very dry season we are seeing in July, August and September in the US. I'm now moving over to slide 7, and in May when we had the last conference together, you see we talked about that we have not yet managed to come back on the long-term premium of 15 to 20%. We just have achieved 5% premium. Now in the last, since April, we managed to get back, to regain this 15% price premium. Of course, we would have preferred that it would have been reflected by an increase in cotton prices. Here, it is mostly reflected by a decrease in cotton prices, but nevertheless, bottoming out cotton prices and slowly increasing viscose prices is also fine. But I think most important, and you are now on the presentation with us on slide 7, is that with a quite significant increase in cotton stock stock to use ratio above 60%, the old C level for the cotton prices of 1 euro per kilo has not been touched, and just as a personal remark, will not be touched anymore. And I think that's very important. Record cotton harvest, record stock, also very challenging and difficult macro conditions, and on this background we still have pretty low but not historic low cotton prices. So that's on the one side a quite positive sign, and on the other side, as you have seen, Lansing viscose prices increased from 176 to 179, which even we did not expect that it would be 3 cents increase on the background of quite negative fundamentals. Okay, I'm handing over now to Fritz to give you the details of the fiber market. Fritz, please.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Fritz Wenninger speaking. Please move to slide 8. And as you can see here, we just managed the average prices in Q2 at about on the Q1 level at 2 euros 4 cents per kg. But what's very important also is that we sold a record volume of nearly 200,000 tons of fiber in a single quarter. So that means that the market is really supporting Lansing, and Lansing's position is quite good, and Lansing is using all the instruments, so to say, to be effective there. Because that means if you would compare it to the quarter one of 2011, that means that 14% more volume was sold in in 2012. Maybe only to preempt some question concerning FX rate, foreign exchange rate, how was that impacting? And the exchange rate, in fact, did help us a little bit there. So if you would have the same exchange rate as we had in quarter one, so the average fiber price would have been, instead of 204 in Q2, it would have been 201. So means a roughly 1.5% little impact a minor impact, so to say. So please move now to page number 9 and go to our flagship business, the textile business. As you can see here, that the viscose prices in Q2 compared to Q1 was even increased. Peter mentioned it already by 3 cents, but also there, never before was sold in one quarter nearly 100,000 tons, so 98,000 tons in viscose, absolute record volume. If we now see the Modal, we announced already before that we have to somehow adjust to the continuous pricing pressure because we have a very high price premium compared to cotton. And as you see here, we adjusted the prices by roughly 7% quarter to quarter now. And we expect from there on, so Q3 and following, just a limited need for further price adjustments. So we see a leveling out there. But I would like to mention also here that because of certain measures, we gained a lot of new customers in China, in Turkey, and we extended our customer base there. If we go to Central, on the other hand, now we have already increased the prices to over 3 euros, so in, exactly 3.11 euros per kilogram per kg, which is due to a mix effect and a very good country mix, product mix effect and very good country mix effect. But we have to tell you that this is not sustainable in the longer way because this more than 70% of premium compared to viscose is too high. So also there we need some adjustments in a range of up to 10% starting Q3 and will lead into Q4. On the next page, on page number 10, short snap on nonwovens, which again proved that it's a very reliable business and in terms of price stability and also volumes. Denzel was really stable in price and volume-wise also. And on Denzel, we have finished the expansion in the U.S., which capacity expansion was 10,000 tons. And we will see on the Denzel in non-wovens, say Q3, Q4 onwards, about 10 to 11,000 tons, and as you see now, we have about in Q2, 8,000 tons. Now follow to the page 11, which is again some input from the price premium on this point of view. Modal is now leveling in with a premium of about 40 to 50%, which we announced. This is a sustainable ratio. In Denzel, textile prices will not likely to remain on such a high level. But on the other side, we always said that the price premium level in Denzel is 20 to 30%. This will also not be the case. We will move it up to 30 to 40% because as you look on the bottom, on the Denzel in non-wovens, we already have there a 37% price premium on the Denzel fiber in this application compared to viscose. So we need an adjustment of round about up to 10%, but on the other side, we will be at the average about 30 to 40%. Which is a good, I would say, position, and it makes sense to continue a lot with the speciality fibers because they pay more than the viscose fibers. I would like to hand over now to Thomas for some financial data.
Thank you, Fritz. Ladies and gentlemen, also warm welcome from my side from a very hot day here in Vienna. First of all, I would like to quickly cast a light on the most important Q2 financials, and let me start with the P&L on slide 12. The good news, despite an increasingly challenging market environment, as described by both Peter and Fritz, Lenzing managed to improve its profitability. Our EBITDA margin increased by 1.2 percentage points to 18.8% quarter-on-quarter compared with quarter one of this year. With basically stable average fiber prices, a more than 8,000-ton volume increase from 191 to 199,000 tons gives you additional sales of 19 million euros. Fritz has mentioned this when he spoke on this on slide 8. While there were a number of smaller offsetting influences which made total external sales grow by around 5 million euro and capitalized work grow by more than 11 million euro, the increase in EBITDA comes entirely from the core fiber business and the increased volume. That's, I think, important to know. I would also like to take a quick look at our net debt situation and balance sheet as illustrated on slide 13. Net debt increased significantly by more than 140 million euro. The three major reasons were: one, dividend payments to Lenzing shareholders and minority shareholders in a total amount of roughly 70 million. Two, a tax prepayment in Austria particularly, and a minor one in Indonesia of, in total, around 45 million euro. And number three reason, an increase in working capital of not quite 30 million euro. With a gross cash flow before taxes of 79 million euro in Q2, we were able to pay our capex of 77 million euro from our own generated cash. No influence from this side on our net debt. Despite of all the mentioned payments, our liquidity cushion of 600 million euros still continues to give me and, of course, my treasurer a good night's sleep. We are looking at very solid balance sheet ratios. As of June, Lenzing equity stood at roughly 1.1 billion euro, giving us an equity ratio of 47% and a net gearing of below 25%. One area which also needs mentioning is the 27.6% tax rate in the first half of 2012, which is higher than what most of you are anticipating for the full year. And you're rightly anticipating a lower tax rate. As listed on slide 14, there are three major reasons also for the 5 percentage points increase compared to last year's first half. The first reason is based on the outstanding 2011 business, SPV in Indonesia, more than doubled dividends in the first half of 2012, and these dividends were at least partially taxed at the source with a 20% withholding tax. The second reason is, as you all know, the corporate tax rates in the US and UK are above Austria's, Indonesia's and China's 25%. US and UK, with TENCEL running at full steam and at a significant premium, the contribution of our TENCEL operations in these countries to the overall result is much higher than in the first half of 2011. And number three reason, the anticipation of taxes for the current year in many cases is based on last year's tax liabilities and set by the authorities on a quarterly basis. Only as the year develops, one is able to catch up with this effect. And I expect this to happen in the second half. All of these factors pushed up our tax rate in the first half. However, this is not going to continue in the second half. And I will give you my best guess based on a number of assumptions, including the benefit from the BNC tax group in a second when I present you now the outlook. As you can see on slide 15, the outlook for the full year and the third quarter is not as some of you might have expected. Clearly, our hopes for a reverse mirror image development in 2012, on which the higher end of our old EBITDA guidance was based, is not going to materialize from the limited visibility we have gained so far in the second half. There has not been a turnaround in July, and there is no sign for it at the moment. Lower prices are leading us to sales guidance of 2.1 billion-2.15 billion euro, pretty much the same level as in 2011, despite an unchanged expectation to increase our sales volume by almost 14% to 810,000 tons of fiber in 2012. On this basis, EBITDA is expected in a range of 350 million-400 million euros compared to 400 million-480 million euros so far. The higher end of 400 million euros is based on the expectation that Q3's price level will continue into Q4. The lower end, the 350 million, anticipates deteriorating prices in Q4 compared with Q3. The same is true for EBIT. CapEx is forecast pretty much at the same level as before, which is 325 million euros compared to 350 million. The full-year tax rate should be between 22% and 24%, indicating significantly lower taxes in the second half, particularly in the third quarter. Referring to the bullet points on the right-hand side, our Q3 guidance provides for the weakest quarter in this year. As Q4 is going to be improved by a 20,000-ton higher sales volume driven by the start of Line 5 in Indonesia and various minor production improvements on the other sides. The volume increase is expected also to drive top line and EBITDA in Q4. Q3 is expected to see a sales volume of approximately 200,000 tons, pretty much what we've seen in the second quarter. We are expecting a slightly lower average price, which should be between 1.95-2 euros per kilo compared to the 2.04 euro in the second quarter. The tax rate in Q3 will be significantly influenced by the B&C tax benefit from group taxation being booked in this quarter and some catch-up effects, as mentioned on the previous slide. Finally, catalysts for the fourth quarter are not only the further development of the world economy and a better understanding of cotton prices based on the first reliable data for the new harvest. The ramp-up in quality of Line 5, starting nearly a quarter ahead of our original timing and our guidance, will also be key. With this, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for your patience and attention, and I would like to ask you and open the line for your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, dial 01, and if you need to cancel that question, you can dial 02. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Mr. Pfeifenberger from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, gents. Thomas, can you hear? Florian, can you hear me?
We can hear you clear and loud. Thank you.
Yes, I only have one question. Last time when you gave the guidance, you said, I asked you for what's the most likely scenario, and you said it's basically towards the 480. Now, I'm asking this question again in light of what you've mentioned, that viscose prices seem to recover a bit over the last 5 weeks, you mentioned, and we're going to see a Christmas textile momentum as well as planting decision, which most likely are going to be directed away from cotton to maybe higher-priced grains. So is this scenario of further declining fiber prices the most likely one, or is it really going to be flat, more or less? Maybe some light on that, and that would be everything from me.
Okay. Look, Matthias, I remember what you're saying, and I don't deny that. I think we were all hoping, based on the full-year numbers and the outlook, that the 480 is more likely than the 400. We're not going to repeat this mistake, making you think that the 400 is more likely than the 350, because we simply don't know. I mean, it's got to be taken serious, what is written in the headline, which is the very limited visibility that we have at the moment. Of course, you could make up the calculation that 195 million of EBITDA in the first half year plus 85, which is the low end of the guidance for Q3, okay, and a Q4 EBITDA that has to be above 85 million because of the increased volume would much rather get you to the higher half of the guidance, which is 375 to 400. But there's too much that can be moved in this one. And again, with 220,000 tons in the fourth quarter, the movement of 1 cent is 2.2 million of revenues and roughly half of EBITDA, roughly 1 million of EBITDA. And we give you this on purpose. As we mentioned at the beginning, we are very proud of the track record of having delivered on your expectations for five quarters in a row. We don't think that there is enough hope for the fourth quarter to sustain our old guidance, and this is to the best of our knowledge. This is the most likely scenarios that are encompassed by the 350 to 400 million.
Okay, then let me just maybe rephrase. Is there a point, or do you see already another lag in terms of viscose pricing following cotton in the fourth quarter, or do you already know that you will lower prices in some of the grades in addition to Q3? We've heard Modal is leveling out, Tencel is going to go down. Do you already anticipate, for instance, further price cuts in Tencel in the fourth quarter?
Well, I would give this question to Fritz, who's really the master of the prices.
The point is, if we come back to viscose now, and in terms of visibility, is, as you know, in the major market in China, we're making monthly contracts or two weekly contracts, only in non-wovens we're making more or less quarterly contracts in some areas here in Europe. So this is the reason why we are really cautious on the viscose price development, because we do not have really long-term contracts. Yeah. And of course there were signs now in Q3, as you mentioned to yourself, that prices were picking up in China, and so, but whoever knows. Yeah. In Modal, I said, yes, it's leveling out, and in Dental, up to about 10% or 20 cents, 25 cents, we still have to readjust the prices, which is we started already in certain applications in July and will last until September, October. But this is not done by announcement or whatsoever. You know, this is done by application. And this is thoroughly thought through, and then we arrived at this numbers finally, as we did the exercise by application, because we are in some applications pretty far away now from cotton, I must say, in dental.
So we could summarize it's a more cautious guidance than before, but maybe justified because the environment has become more volatile. But then, obviously, once cotton prices maybe pick up with the planting decisions, you would be prepared to raise prices immediately, right? At least for viscose, I guess.
Yeah, point is, I mean, our stock levels are low. Yeah. Any move in both ways are implemented pretty fast. Yeah. That's the point.
And a last question, is there potential to squeeze out any more additional volumes in the fourth quarter that you could maybe go to 815 or 820?
No, Matthias, this is not to be seen. And maybe 1,000, but it could also be for a maintenance reason or for a breakup, also 1,000 less or 2,000 less. But the 810 is that what we really expect. Look, you also follow the spot price, and without saying that this is sustainable, we see quite encouraging price increases in China, in Asia, everywhere. At the same time, if you look on the Bloomberg today, you see an announcement from a company I never have heard before about 11% cotton consumption reduction in China. So I don't know where this is coming from, but surely, even if the future and the cash price today is on a pretty strong base, this may have decreasing effect for the next 10 days, again down. And even if we would expect a price increase in viscose in September, it could just be the trigger for no price increase. So that is exactly what Thomas explained on a quite volatile environment. There are good signs and there are positive signs and there are some negative signs. And well, if we say now we have an adjusted guidance for the full year and a new guidance or a pretty good guidance for the third quarter, we want to deliver this guidance for the third quarter also.
Yes, perfect. Thanks, very clear.
Thank you. The next question comes from Fabio Lopez from Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the question. I have a few questions. The first one is, could you explain the nature of the tax payment to BNC? As per page 41, note 10, it's a 42.5 million, if I get it correctly. Could you break it down and explain the nature of it? The second question is, given the lower guidance in prices, which are lower than what you did in Q2, where should we expect most of the further decline? Is it only in Tencel or it's across the board? The third question would be, could you give a depreciation guidance for the full year? And link it to that question, is the reduction in CapEx of 25 million, should we expect it next year, or is it a trend of reducing CapEx going forward? Thank you very much.
Okay, Fabio, grateful for the questions. Let me take the first one, the nature of the tax payment. It's very easy. It's a tax prepayment. It's 42.5 million, the remainder. Coming from Indonesia, the remainder to the 44.2, to be absolutely precise. What is it? There is an anticipation of what our of what BNC's tax payment is going to be. And in the past, we didn't make any prepayments because we were simply not asked by BNC to make the prepayment for which we are contractually obliged. This is a cash effect. You will see, on the other hand, in Q3, a tax rate which would be in percentage term a third to half of what our tax rate in Q2 has been, and that is from the benefit that we are getting from this tax group arrangement, which basically makes use of the losses carried forward of BNC and is shared 50-50 between BNC and us. Okay? The only reason why it comes as a surprise maybe to you is because so far there were no prepayments made, and usually the cash out for the tax obligation coincided with the tax benefit. I hand the question of where the decline of the prices is going to happen to Fritz.
Well, it's not the same level across over all the fibers, but we see it a slight reduction in viscose fibers because, as Thomas mentioned, the level is 195 to 2 euros average price. So to arrive to that, we see a slight reduction in viscose prices, and we see up to 10% reduction on the Tencel prices. On Modal, we are just having very minor adjustments, so to say.
Okay, then let me quickly go to the depreciation level. As you can figure out from our new guidance, the difference between 400 and 290 is 110. The old difference for depreciation amortization was 115, whereas the 5 million difference, which is, you know, more pretending to be more accurate than it really is. It's coming from the majority of the capex coming in the second half. We had 130 million in the first half, and we are expecting 325 million in total. So there is more to come in the second half, and the slight delay in depreciation and amortization is resulting in a 5 million difference.
Fabio, Peter speaking on CapEx. We have a small reduction from 350 to 325, and this is no indication that we are slowing down. I would say just the contrary. As I always say, and I mentioned that last time, we have no volume issue. This is not a volume issue why we are giving a new guidance. It's a margin issue coming from primarily from cotton. So Tencel, which we just is now 2 months under construction, is moving extremely good in Lansing. Line 5, as Thomas mentioned, is also moving fine in budget and ahead of time, almost 2 months. China, our debottlenecking project is almost finished and in budget. Where we have a little bit of delay is because of an additional so-called bird sanctuary approval in India. So for the 25 million we have planned this year in India will not come, and we expect that then, of course, to do in next year. So because we see for the long term all megatrends in place, all fundamentals as we discussed last year and last time also in place, we are not going to reduce or any of our projects will not disappear from the screen.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Schlimm from Allianz Global Investors. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Two quick questions. The first one, could you give us the cash tax payments in Q1 and in Q2, including the prepayments? So what were the effective cash outflows in total? And what is the cash tax guidance for the full year based on your updated guidance? Thank you.
Okay. The cash tax payment in the first quarter was a minor one, which I have to look up. Let me see if I find it. The majority comes from the second quarter. There was hardly any tax cash prepayment in the first half. There was a minor dividend payment to minorities. There was an FX effect, but no major prepayment. It would be hiding in the 1.3 million of other, which again is predominantly an FX impact. There was hardly any cash tax prepayment issue in the first quarter. For the full year, as I said, I would not like to pin myself down to a precise number. I would kind of hint you at a ballpark range of around 80 million euros. Being influenced predominantly by the actual benefit that we are getting from the tax group with BNC in Q3, which I'm unable to fully assess until I have it on the table and until it's assessed by the Florian is helping me out on this one. Yeah. But that's pretty much it. Yeah.
So bottom line, around 45 million cash taxes paid in the first half. Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And 80 million guidance for the full year.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mr. Mackey from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks very much, and good afternoon, gentlemen. Couple of questions, if I can, please. Firstly, this might seem a slightly naive question, but I wonder, Fritz, I'm sure, can answer this. Why, you know, you talk about having to reduce Tencel prices. Tencel, of course, went up reasonably substantially in the second quarter, despite the fact that, you know, as you entered into the second quarter when you were setting those Tencel prices, the viscose market was still looking pretty pretty weak. So your customers were willing to take a 74% pricing premium at that stage. So I'm just wondering if you can talk us through the dynamics, or, you know, perhaps the pressure you're under from your customers that is sort of leading you to be required to cut Tencel pricing going into Q3. You mentioned some of the same issues as Modal, but of course the issue with Modal was that Birla brought a chunk of new capacity on stream, and that's not the case for Tencel. So I wonder if you could just debate that, please. And secondly, a slightly a broader issue, I guess, and I'm not sure whether you'll have any insights here, but the high cotton price last year, you know, appears to have driven a bit of a shift towards towards synthetics, and so a bit of demand destruction for the whole cellulosics market. What are you seeing? Do you have any visibility on the dynamics of that process this year? In other words, are you seeing the lower cotton price driving a shift back from synthetics, but that effect being offset by, you know, weaker underlying demand, or are you not seeing a shift back from synthetics, or do you just not have that visibility at this stage?
Okay, Peter, let's go for the first question. Why we are reducing, or why we are adjusting the Tencel prices? I mean, all in all, the second quarter was very favorable in terms of the product mix and in terms also of the country mix. Yeah? We shipped out, and as you know, we have a lot of even specialized products within the Tencel portfolio, being it A100, being it Shortcut. And there we had really a very lucky situation also in the second quarter that was also part of the reason why the prices went up. But
if I can just interrupt, I think I seem to recall that A100 was an issue and has been an issue in the past couple of quarters as well. Are you sort of, seem to have a couple of times been anticipating a mix shift undermining Tencel pricing, which doesn't appear to have happened yet. I mean, are you actually starting to see that take place now?
You mean, no, the Tencel A100 was in very good volumes in Q2 compared to Q1. So that's even, and Tencel A100 has a higher price.
Yeah, and so, are you expecting that to reverse then, that mix effect to reverse in the third quarter?
So in the third quarter, we come back a bit into normal. So we had a really a lucky quarter there, and we could push a lot the A100, even especially in China. Yeah? So, but the major point is, we have a kind of a monopoly situation there, but as you know, there is always a competition around, and we have certain applications where, of course, a big competitor is cotton, or special cotton grade, and this is getting hard to fight against it. For instance, a big application is the home textiles area, and this is dominated by cotton, and as the cotton prices really went down strongly, so we are having tough times now to fight against losing share of dental fiber there, or losing it even completely, because we are in many cases also a complementary product, and it's easy to, let's say, reduce ratios.
Understood.
I also would like to mention, as Peter said it before, that we started the expansion in the U.S. in Mobile, the LFI, and so we get there an extra 10,000 tons a year, but this is mainly dedicated into the nonwovens area, and the nonwovens area is, of course, in Tencel, for instance, at the lower price than many of the applications on the textile area. So this is also averaging, the average price will be reduced in dental. But point is really, we looked up case by case, application by application, and there you have different mechanism how you have to react. And as a huge example, also next to the home textiles, I would like to mention the denim sector. So the jeans area, which is always a very price-sensible area, and as you know, this is dominated by cotton, and there also the prices went down a lot. So this is the outcome at the end.
Okay.
That's not. It would be easy if you have a monopoly, and then you say, no, I don't care about anything around me, and but then you lose at the end. So the other thing is. Cotton prices and cotton development and gain of synthetics. In fact, yeah, it's true that cotton lost a bit in terms of market share, mainly driven by high cotton prices in China, because as you maybe read that the Chinese government fixed cotton prices within China at 120. Cents a pound, and that made, let's say, not only the industry, but finally also the consumption not very competitive to any other products. They were, even the Chinese had the utilization rates, because Peter mentioned one big textile mill, so the biggest in the world, Huaqiao, where the chairman said, he's not seeing the future too bright, but this was exactly the point. These guys had big problem because they had to buy the cotton at high price at 120 cents a pound, and this of course made some changes. But pretty sure that will come back again if there was a slight change in market share of cotton, because as we always said, people need to sell lossy content. But in viscose, I mean, we as Lansing, we ran out full capacity. We had a utilization rate of 95%. Our stocks are low. So.
Okay, thank you very much.
Maybe before we get the first question, let me come back once more to Mr. Schlimpf, because I had a helping hand, and it said I could have been misunderstood. I gave you the 80 million of cash taxes, but that is before the benefit and the impact that reduces also our cash obligation from the BNC tax group. So at the end of the day, we believe that there is a good chance that our cash taxes after this effect would be more in a region of 65 than 80 million, which is the difference being made up by the tax benefit from BNC, just to clarify on this one. Okay?
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now. Our next question comes from Mr. Lopez from Bank of America.
Hi, just a quick follow-up question on, are the clients asking to change the nature of the contracts for a more short-term? He was talking about how the in China you have even biweekly contract. Is that a trend? Are the clients asking for this?
I mean, in China, it's not the trend. It's the system since several years. Yeah, we are selling on a monthly base, but the. Say the competitors there are selling on a weekly base, and bi-weekly base, as you said. But that's the system already. I mean, since a couple of years, and there is no change. Yeah. So of course, the more volatile it is, the shorter the contracting is. This is especially the case in China.
But in other regions, I'm just trying to figure out why the visibility has changed now versus previous periods.
No, from that point, not really, because in Indonesia we also have the monthly, and in Europe we have the quarterly, and in non-women's we have quarterly contracts.
Robert, that is a good question. Why you ask that? Look, on the viscose side itself, the visibility has not changed that much. It's more having contradictory indications and signs from the sideline, particularly from the cotton, as I mentioned. With all the speculation on cotton fields and reductions and stock levels, the one guy saying going up, the other guy saying going down, and now also the strong dry season in the U.S., which may even get worse or not. But even if the rain is coming, then everything may get flooded. Food staples have come up 50%. I'm not daring to think what happens if that goes with cotton. So from that side, we have quite contradictory indications, and we must be careful. I'm not going to tell you, or that's the reason why we have why we are saying 85 to 90 on the guidance for third quarter, and not 100, because we want to deliver the 85 to 90.
Perfect. Thank you.
As a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please dial 01. There are no further questions. This ends the Q&A round. I now hand back to Mr. Untersperger.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks a lot for your time you couldn't spend with us. Many thanks for your very, very interesting questions. Some of you we see in the next couple of days. So all the best. And, I think we will have a very, very interesting third quarter, and we will do our best. Thanks a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.